I'd like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Do you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Jones.
Here.
Suarez.
Here.
McDonald.
Here.
Conway.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Okay, first up, we have a proclamation for our now former Municipal Alliance Chair, Dorothy Rapture. Come on up, Dorothy. Okay, it's a proclamation of the Borough of Washington expressing appreciation to Dorothy Rapture for her service to the Washington Borough Municipal Alliance. Whereas Dorothy Rapture has honestly... I'm having problems today. I can't speak. Whereas Dorothy Rapture has honorably served Borough of Washington in the capacity as Municipal Alliance Coordinator since September of 2000 and has been a dedicated member of the Alliance for the past 14 years. And whereas Dorothy Rapture has been instrumental in the development of many Municipal Alliance programs throughout her tenure and played a key role in entering into the shared service Municipal Alliance between the Borough of Washington and the townships of Franklin and Mansfield. And whereas the Borough of Washington has benefited greatly from her guidance in all matters affecting the Summer Municipal Alliance recreational programs, and whereas Dorothy Rapture has devoted herself to the betterment of the Borough of Washington and will be missed by all those who work for or on behalf of the Borough, and whereas the elected representatives of the Borough of Washington, the Mayor and Council desire to formally express the heartfelt appreciation of the entire community to Dorothy Rapture for her many years of outstanding and dedicated service to the Borough of Washington. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Washington and the County of Warren, State of New Jersey, that the appreciation of the community is hereby expressed to Dorothy Rapture for her 14 years of dedicated and honorable service to the citizens of the Borough of Washington, and our sincerest best wishes are expressed to her and her family now and in the future. Be it further resolved that the borough clerk be directed to have this proclamation duly embossed for presentation by the mayor of the Borough of Washington at public meeting to be held April 15, 2014, and to have a certified copy of this proclamation recorded in the permanent record of the Borough of Washington in perpetuity. Congratulations. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Council. Thank you very much, Ms. Blanton.
Thank you.
I'm going to take 2 seconds to express what an honor that it has been to serve our children and for your continued support of our programs and what we've been able to get accomplished. And especially to Ms. Blanchard, who I have worked with 4 of the previous borough managers, and by far she has excelled, exceeded in every capacity. She has worked with me on many, many matters in order to get things resolved, and I cannot thank her enough. So thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next up we have some council appearances. Let's start with our recreation director, Mr. Terminelli.
Good evening, everyone. I'm here on behalf of Vic Cioni, chairperson for the Rec Commission. He asked me today to present the splash pad proposal for 2015 for the pool season. Did everybody receive the packets? Okay. Again, bear with me. I just received this last week. Vic was gracious enough to just throw it on my desk and say, could you please do this at the next council meeting? So I'll try to answer the questions to the best of my ability. Anything else that I can't answer, I'll make sure I get a hold of Vic and see if we can answer him right away. So the splash pad proposal, the Recreation Commission would like to take the next step in the development of the borough pool. We would like to proceed to contract for an ADA compliant splash pad that would be adjacent to the existing baby pool that's there right now. This would be a zero-depth addition with the existing footprint of the current baby pool area fencing, which would mean that we would really not require any more fencing. We would just move the present fencing back to make space for the splash pad. Why do this? None of the areas that we've looked into, none of the surrounding areas, have a splash pad. I think the only ones that I've found research online was, I think Bergen County has one, I believe Union County, Elmwood Park in Bergen County, there's a Veterans Playground in Monroe Township that has a splash pad, Cedar Park in South Plainfield, and that's it. That's the only splash pad in the area. We also wanted to enhance the existing swimming pool and enhance the community. It's not just for kids. Because of the zero entry and because of the water features, we believe that possibly elderly people can also enjoy being cooled off. You don't have to go into the pool. You can go into the splash pad area where they have water jets, so forth. We feel that adding the splash pad would easily boost our seasonal pass numbers as well as our daily visitors by at least 10 to 20%. We would use our existing well pump and circulation system set up to reduce waste and costs. The area in question that we're looking to build the splash pad right now is an embankment right next to the baby pool. It's not being used at all. It's almost wasted space, if you will. So what we want to do is build that area back, have it excavated, put up a retaining wall, and put the splash pad right in that area. We feel as a result of the funding through the Ryan Holmes Project that we will not need to raise any pool fees to accommodate this project. And adding a splash pad park to the pool complex would enhance the overall experience the visitors and residents currently have, making our park destination attraction for all Warren County and Hunterdon counties. Now on the following page, you'll see the splash pad site location. You're going to have to bear with the map. It's not color. It's not 3D. But as you can see, the adjacent area, that vacant spot right there, that is where the slope is of the current park. Again, they want to go back 25 feet and make it an extra 50 feet right here where the splash pad will exist. On the following page, this will be the basic layout of the splash pad. Now, this isn't to say that these are the features that are going to be used in the splash pad. Okay, there could be other features that are involved. One of the best things are that everything is interchangeable. So if we have a feature 1 year, we can exchange it next year with no cost. Just have to buy or maybe even exchange the feature that's there presently. Okay. Following page, again, is a graphic detail of a mock-up with the water features. Okay. Again, apologize for the graphics. Okay, in the projected timeline, the bid process approved about 4 to 6 weeks. Award contract about 1 week. Estimated construction start late September, early October. Construction potentially lasts 8 to 9 weeks. Landscaping in the spring, and we plan to opening, if all goes well, start of the 2015 season. Projected costs, the engineering and oversight not to exceed $23,000. The water features, $42,000 to $55,000. The construction costs, materials and labor subject to a winning bid. And the overall cost not to exceed $125,000 to $130,000. Now again, it's very, very brief. And again, like I stated before, my knowledge on this is a little limited, so I'll try to answer your questions the best that I can. Are there any questions? Yes, sir, Mr. Thompson.
You said about catching water and recycling it?
Yes, sir.
Is that another cost for that?
That'll all be involved in the plumbing issue when it's built. Okay. And we'll just use the existing well.
It'll be like a tank, whatever?
Right, if everything is existing, yes, sir.
Okay.
Just going to put any additional stress on the current pumping system?
I do not believe so, but I can't give you a 100% answer that's correct.
Okay.
And I can find that out for you.
Appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Anything else?
Do you have to raise any additional funds, you think? Or this is going to be basically...
According to the research that Mr. Cioni has done and from what they said... Hopefully not. I guess with the Ryan Holmes project, it's grant slated for $300,000, and we don't expect this cost to exceed, as I say, $130,000.
So So you're thinking of using like one-third or a little bit more of that money?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Wasn't the original plan of that, use that money to develop the Railroad Avenue Park for that?
Again, I do not know. I can find that out, but I do not know.
Yeah, I think that was a discussion, Rob.
Right.
I don't think anybody ever said, yes, it's going to be, or no, it isn't. Just that was part of the discussion where it could be used.
Where are we at with the Ryan Holmes donation?
That should happen shortly.
Well, actually, he has paid 100% of donation.
Oh, okay.
It just has to go to recreation.
That's correct.
Okay.
So there's a discussion with the CFO that needs to take place, and then that will happen.
Okay. So you just want permission to move forward?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'll make that motion.
Second? Any other discussion? Let's do a roll call on that, please.
Yes.
Higgin?
Yes.
Conroy?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Well, as long as you don't keep coming back here, but I guess my answer would be yes on my vote.
John?
Yes.
There you go.
Council, thank you very, very much for your time. Yes, sir.
It's not always that easy.
Oh, believe me, sir. I didn't think it was.
I'm just glad my first time isn't easy.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Next up, Mr. Rice with the Town Center.
Good evening, everyone. Ray Rice, appearing on behalf of J Partners, Washington, LLC. And our appearance tonight is with respect to the project that we got approved in January, the Town Center project, which is on the former St. Cloud Hotel PNC Bank site. And what's came up is that in the midst of negotiating the redevelopment agreement for the project, which we're required to do by the resolution of approval, there are some circumstances and conditions within the redevelopment agreement that we've reached an impasse with the town engineer and the planning board engineer. Specifically, our redevelopment agreement has an unusual circumstance, and in the 30 years I've been in this business, we're actually being requested to post a restoration agreement with the municipality on private property that we're developing, which is atypical to anything that I've ran into previously. And I did do a little bit of homework. I checked around the borough with respect to other projects that have occurred. And to the best of my knowledge, if somebody can tell me different, that's fine. We're the poster child for the restoration request. And the impact of it, just so everybody understands, we're in a business that involves economics. And the more expensive the project gets, the more untenable it gets. So the requirement for the restoration fee, I would respectfully submit that we shouldn't have to post it. The primary reason that we're on a private piece of property, we're going to post all the guarantees that would be typical of a project like this, which would be bonds for work associated in public right-of-ways, state right-of-ways, things of that nature. And the restoration one, I guess what I really should say to the council, and after consultation with my partners, we're just unwilling to post that. So that's the one point. The second point is, and I don't want to get into the weeds, but when you ultimately develop property in the state of New Jersey, one of the standards you have to follow with respect to stormwater management is what they call best management practices, which we have. Finelli Engineering has actually concurred with our conclusions as they relate to the stormwater management on the site, the control of the management, and the discharge of the management. We ran into an impasse with respect to that. And those of you that do know the site, which is everybody here in the room, we have a secondary access that's actually on South Lincoln Avenue, which presently is an ingress and an egress. It's going to, at the end of the day, be an egress only. The discharge from our site ultimately will get into the system that exists in South Lincoln Avenue today. The
You're talking stormwater that will be collected on your property.
Correct.
Right down to South Lake.
Correct. But the standard that we have to follow is, by law, we are not able to increase the existing conditions that are on site today with respect to discharge. And we've met that burden of proof, and Finelli Engineering has agreed to it. What's came up with, and I actually spoke to Ms. Blanchard about this, they've raised an issue regarding the infrastructure that exists in South Lincoln Avenue today, that there may be, quote-unquote, some problem with it. I don't know if that's the case or not. And what they've said is we should study that system, which is a little bit atypical because, number one, it's not our responsibility. Two, we're only required by law to meet the standard that exists, which is best management practices, meaning we can increase the flow. And then the third thing that I would point out, today, right now, you have a site that for all practical purposes does not have controlled stormwater management. There's one inlet that everything goes to, which is in the back of the PNC property. It's actually clogged up today, and it's not functioning. So what we're actually proposing now, obviously, is a redevelopment of the site. We're going to control the stormwater, and we're actually going to get it into the existing system. And we're happy to do all that right there. What we're unwilling to do, and I got caught up with this in Hackettstown, unfortunately, with the Bergen Tool site that I'm doing. We ultimately were compelled to do this study that just went on, and $20,000 later, everybody agreed that it was a problem and that it was the municipality's issue to deal with.
It was a stormwater management
problem
that you had in Hackettstown.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's a very similar situation that, frankly, you're going to run into in a lot of municipalities in New Jersey, because Washington Borough, Hackettstown, some of the other ones, the stormwater management that was in existence at the time was very simple. Water goes to the lowest point. So it was to get it out into the street, run it down to wherever the stream was. And ultimately in South Lincoln Avenue over there, that's what happens. So what we're requesting of the council is the removal of the restoration agreement, restoration standard from the redevelopment agreement that was drafted. And with respect to the stormwater management, that we shouldn't be compelled to have to undertake this study.
Okay. First off, I'm going to start with Ms. Parikh. Does the council have jurisdiction to do these things?
The council has jurisdiction to address the first issue that you brought up with respect to the restoration bond. The council does not have jurisdiction, however, to deal with approvals that were put into place by the planning board, or conditions, I'm sorry, that were put into place. That's something that is completely outside the scope of the jurisdiction of the governing body and would have to be addressed with the planning board.
Okay. Could I just address that for a moment?
Please.
Here's where the devil is in the details at the end of the day. The redevelopment agreement, because I'm in a redevelopment zone, ultimately is the controlling document. And the only entity that has the authority to enter into a redevelopment agreement with me is the council. Okay, it's not the planning board. So the restoration agreement, and you know the only other thing, and it's a good thing you brought that up, I do believe at the end of the day, and I don't know if Mr. Finelli and Mr. Weber actually ended up confirming this with Christine, but I do believe at the end of the day they were in agreement with my assumption that the restoration agreement could be removed because the ultimate controlling procedure would be the issuance of a CO.
Okay. Christine, do you want to add anything to that?
I am in agreement with that, yes. And
okay.
We discussed removal of the restoration.
Yeah, as far as we're concerned, we're okay with that as well. I represent.
Yeah.
That
are you Dan?
Dawson.
Dawson, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And we've discussed it, and I think that's an acceptable arrangement.
Correct. And after my discussion with Leslie and Judy last week, I think we both came to that same conclusion that removal of the restoration bond in the redevelopment agreement is acceptable.
Okay.
Certainly, it is acceptable. The second issue, however, the conditions were imposed by the planning board, and that's where your source of relief is.
But before we get into that one, let's deal with the restoration fee first off, so we don't get into a complete muddle. Do we need a motion to go for that?
I do too.
Why was it originally put in? If we're going to take it out?
I can't answer that question. I think the draft came from...
Yeah, I don't know that the restoration fee is in there.
No, it's in there.
I mean, was what came before the planning board. I think that came after it.
No. Well, we actually have two things, Mayor. So we had a resolution of approval. The resolution of approval did not have the language with the restoration of fee. The redevelopment agreement did. Frankly, I'm not sure who put it in, but it did end up in, and...
That redevelopment agreement comes after the resolution for the plan?
100% correct. And one of the conditions, the final conditions of the resolution agreement, there's a line in there that I have to enter into a redevelopment agreement with the borough prior to commencing any type of construction activities on the property. And what we're trying to do, just so everybody here tonight understands, is we're trying to get to the stage where construction can actually start, and we've, you know, now ran into these hurdles. The restoration guarantee, we have another one, which ultimately, at the end of the day, I did agree with what Finelli came up with. There's a DOT issue that we don't agree with their conclusion on. Regarding ingress and egress out of the site, which we think that we've met the burden of proof. We don't believe what they're requesting is necessary. And so that's what's up with that. But I will tell you, on the stormwater, it ultimately is my opinion, and it's based on this, is that and I can base this on my Hackettstown experience, regarding the stormwater, because we had this very same issue. I got shooed into a box where I had to do this study. Nothing changed at the end of the day with the study.
Just out of curiosity, Mr. Wright, who is the engineer for?
Major Consultant.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Paul Sturman.
To make sure it wasn't the same engineering firm.
Nope. Major Consulting, and same issue. We went through, we did all the study, everybody looked at it and said, yep, that's what the condition is. At the end of the day, the conclusion was whether or not we were increasing the flow into it, we weren't, and that to the extent that there was ever going to be any addressing of that particular issue, that it was going to be the town of Hackettstown's responsibility.
Okay. So let's go back to the restoration
plan. Okay.
Council for questions for that. Go ahead, Rob.
I do. Ray, what's your objection, basically, to the restoration agreement?
Like there,
what is it specifically telling you to do?
I'll be very simple. I think everybody knows me as a direct guy, okay? It took me two meetings to get the approvals on this. I've probably already spent to date with your professionals and review fees and things of that nature. I'm approaching $20,000, which I would respectfully submit, in my opinion, is too much money, okay? The second aspect of it is, the day that I post this restoration bond fee, if I was willing to agree to it, and I'm not, the money's going to be gone. And the third thing is, there's a statement actually in the agreement that says the restoration amount is to be determined. So I don't even know what the amount is, besides the fact that I won't agree to it. And the final thing is, all this work that we're talking about is being done on private property that we own. So the leap of faith on my part, and I don't mean to get a little bit upset here, is, but this would presume that somebody that was building a house in the borough now would have to put up a restoration fee, unless we're being treated different than everybody else.
I don't think so, right? And I think it's because it's a development agreement. It's the first one that we've had. Since we've had our redevelopment plan, this is our first one.
Okay.
You know, we have to learn.
What about Van Cleef's?
Pardon me?
Wouldn't Van Cleef's have been our first
no,
one?
No, I don't think so.
I think he was, actually.
I think he was.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. He's in the redevelopment zone.
Yeah, he's in the redevelopment zone.
I thought he started before we passed that.
Is there any way we can get a copy of that actual, you know, text of the resolution statement, you know, that
it's in draft form. No, we don't.
What, the redevelopment agreement?
Yeah.
That's right,
yeah.
There.
Okay.
So you guys have it.
Right, I mean, the council didn't read it yet, that's why.
Okay.
Right, I don't have it.
Oh.
Council does not have it.
Okay.
So we would maybe.
I thought you had it, I'm sorry. I got it right here.
I mean, so, otherwise, I would have asked you.
It's only in draft.
I can understand your objecting to the fees, but I just need to read the text, and maybe there's something, maybe we can, you know, delete the whole, you know, section from the agreement, I don't know, but we'll have to, you know, review it first before we discuss it any further, I would suggest.
Hold on just a second.
Well.
Dawson, I.
Yeah.
I think I just shed a little bit of light on how it came to be. The municipal code in relation to bonds and restoration fees is very nebulous, it's obscure. So it's not specific as to whether those are related to both private and public, or public only, or how they're to be applied. There's just a simple one or two word statement that really leaves it open to a very wide ranging interpretation. And I think that's where some of the questions came in terms of how the language even initially got into the redevelopment agreement. I think through discussion with Mr. Rice, I think we all agree that on the private portion of the project, essentially, we're not going to, the borough will not issue COs until all of the construction issues and conditions were satisfied anyway. And on the public side, traditionally, you would have those types of bonds. So I think at the end of the day, we're in agreement, and I think this moves more to a question of looking at the ordinances that are in place to make them in line with, maybe getting them on a larger.
What does the restoration section agreement, what does it do?
It's
like a bond in case you.
It is. The premise that was laid.
Unfinished business.
Yeah, the premise that was laid out to me by Mr. Finelli was that we'd bust. You know, we'd start the job, we would bust.
Uh-huh.
And I guess conceivably the borough would come in and secure, finish, whatever the case may be. But, you know, again, you're on private property.
Sure, no, I understand.
You always have the right to take certain actions as a municipality, which you did with the Paramount Properties over here. So, you know, my interpretation of it was, besides the fact that we're not going to do it, just so we're very upfront with everybody, is that it's an unreasonable request, and it already presumes failure. And I think you have the example of the work that we did on Washington Square, which is sold out and almost done. We got no debt on the property over here.
And Dawson Finelli's position is that it could be done away with.
Yeah, right? I think we agree. I mean, we really agree to that at this point.
And Christine, you agree with that also?
I agree with that as well, yeah.
Okay.
So you would, if this agreement were to take place that you're objecting to, how much bond would you require?
I'm only going to put up the bonds for things that are in public.
No, what does the agreement call for in terms of how much to put
there
up?
Number one, there is no amount in the agreement.
No. Okay, that's how nebulous, as Dawson put it.
Well, it's code, and I think the redevelopers agreement, again, was in draft form. Certain things need to be negotiated through it. So I think some of those things were unfinished as far as resolving them and coming up with dollar amounts and whatnot. But the code itself, I think, probably needs to be looked at, you know, just from more specificity.
Okay. Dave, you were questioning before you had more.
Who did that developers agreement? Who wrote that?
Planning board attorney, I would think.
No. That's what I would want to know.
No, I think Judy did.
I think Judy did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would want to know why she put it there in the first place and what the purpose was behind it before I took any action, personally.
I think that Judy drafted the agreement. I don't know where the recommendation came from or the I don't know what the background is with respect to that bond. I have talked to Judy about it, the support in the law for the, there's no statutory support, there's no support in the code, there's nothing in the actual resolution. And she is also of the opinion that it should not be required.
Okay.
But I can't help you out with respect to the background as to how it originally got in there.
Yeah, that's right.
So can we just remove it?
If someone would like to make a motion to that effect, I'd accept it.
Yeah, I would make that motion based on, you know, the attorney's, you know, statement, so, yeah.
I'll second it.
I have some more discussion.
Sure, go ahead.
Right, counsel, in the event, and I don't foresee this happening, just so you know.
I know I caught you all surprised when you heard I paid all the money on...
Yeah, right.
Okay, so I'm paying ahead, Dave.
So he falls flat, right? Recourse? None?
No, and that's why it's a great idea to have it in there to protect the borough. Unfortunately, there's no support for it.
Okay.
We would have the possibility always to put a lien against the properties that are there that are unfinished, is that correct?
And you, there are certain things that you clearly could do if it became a health, safety, and welfare issue.
And if he went...
Absolutely.
If he were bust to bankrupt or something like that, you know, we could always do eminent domain if we had to take it over, so if it's tax sale to get somebody else to take it over.
It's not like the borough's without recourse, you know.
Right.
Right.
Well, I've never went bust on anything, so just so anybody knows.
Exactly. It certainly wouldn't be as easy as dipping into...
Right.
You know, the funds to do what needs to be done.
That's the
idea. Is there a dollar figure in there?
No.
No.
That's the other unfortunate thing.
That's another reason that he's kind of against it, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, then you just don't need it. It's on private property. You know?
Okay.
There's separate carve-out language in here for activities in the public right-of-ways, NJDOT openings and things like that, and it says you got to post bonds. That's the normal course of business. And the development business. We have no issue with those, but the restoration was
right.
Just...
Any other discussion on the restoration thing? Let's do a roll call on that motion, please.
Torres?
Yes.
Conway?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Thompson?
I'd like to see it, but yes.
John?
No.
Okay. So we have that issue taken care of.
Yep.
Can we open discussion on the second issue then?
Yeah, the other one is the sewer.
No, the stormwater management.
Storm sewer.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Did I misunderstand you when you said there's currently stormwater going off the property now at a place that's plugged up or something?
No. What it is that the low point, well, first off, the St. Cloud site, which was where the hotel used to be,
mm-hmm.
has no stormwater management. It's all sheet flow. And it's just headed to the lowest point, which it some goes out the back and actually some goes to South Lincoln via the municipal parking lot.
So what were you talking about that was plugged up?
Well, in the back, in the back of
the
PNC property,
right.
There's actually an inlet there today. Actually does go to South Lincoln, but it's not functioning. It's clogged up. So what you have is you have a couple different dynamics. There's property sheet flowing off of South Lincoln through the municipal parking lot. There's property sheet flowing from PNC and the St. Cloud down the back, and then some of it actually goes down that existing road that goes in and out right now
mm-hmm.
into South Lincoln.
Is that storm drain on public property? Is that ours?
Well, the ones in South Lincoln are. The one
no,
in the PNC
one?
Is, no.
That's
on private. That's on our property.
All right, before we get too much into that, Dawson, could you explain a little bit more about why this is even in there and what's going on with
sure.
it?
And I'll stipulate a few things that Mr. Rice indicated earlier. We are in total agreement that they've met both the stormwater quantity and quality requirements. I don't want to try to get too technical about what the issue really is, but as he indicated, the current site conditions are predominantly sheet flow to the lowest point. There is one functioning or non-functioning basin on the site. So essentially, at this point, all of the runoff from the site is sheet flow. The issue is not necessarily quantity in and of itself. It's where the water that is now going to be collected by the development, and I agree, they're doing a beneficial thing by addressing the stormwater management practices. The issue really is, from our concern, is that they're now collecting the water appropriately. We're now directing it to somewhere where it's not currently going. into the municipal system. And what we had asked was to confirm that the location at which they're putting this runoff is capable of accepting this water. And that's really what's at issue. Not so much that they've exceeded the quantity or they're not meeting the quality and best management practices. It's that the water is going now or is intended to go somewhere where it currently isn't going. So they've met all the requirements of, and I agree with that. Our concern is that the system
the pipes
can
up
handle
South Lincoln.
What's in, eventually going there.
Okay.
In this new location.
So where is the water that's on the surface now going?
It's now going to another location. It'll eventually make its way after the street, but because it runs overland and it runs down south.
Okay.
It ends up somewhere else down in the system, potentially, as to be instead of taking all the runoff now that they're collecting and putting it out into a singular location.
Doesn't the right of way go into the creek?
Eventually, but the water is now entering the system at a point
so
further up.
Essentially, at that driveway, give or take a few feet, is where all the new development's water will go.
Yes.
Where it's going now is it's running down South Lincoln to a different, to a pipe 100 yards
down
or something like that.
Yeah, it'll eventually work its way across and into other parts of the system. And that's
okay.
That's all we're really looking to determine is to really say, okay, is there going to be an issue here? And it really impacts both the municipal side, but really, I think from the development side, you know, to make sure that, you know, theoretically, but if the water gets to a point where it can't go anywhere any longer, we now have a condition where you're going to have potential conditions on site that become deleterious.
Well, okay, and I respect everything that Dawson said, but at the same time, I probably agree with some of the conclusions. There's actually in South Lincoln today, there's an inlet in the middle of the municipal parking lot. There's an inlet out in South Lincoln, midway between the northern property line of the municipal parking lot and the southern property line. There's an inlet at the ingress and egress that I have right now, and then there's two inlets after that. And when I met with Mike Finelli and Gene Weber, what was told to me, what the concern was, is that, yes, we're going to collect the water, we're going to control it, there's going to be a single discharge point, no doubt about it. But what they were concerned about is actually what they call a surcharging situation. That the collection that I would be putting in conjunction with the pipe that it would be running in, that the capacity would be reached, it's going to surcharge, and then it's going to sheet flow, okay? And that there's a crown in the road. So if you go out to South Lincoln Avenue today, and I went out there today just for my own edification on this situation to look at what was going on with the stormwater. First off, if there's a crown in the road, it's, if you went out there and looked at it, and I'm not saying I'm an engineer, but I've looked at enough of these, the crown is de minimis at best, okay? And the concern that was explained to me by Mr. Weber and Mr. Finelli was that the water was going to come down the road. It was actually going to jump the crown, end up on the other side of the curb, and then run down the road versus getting into the inlets. And my engineer doesn't agree with that. I don't agree with that, number one. Number two is that we do have a inlet that's out there today on PNC that is, in fact, clogged up. And this is just an example because this isn't our proposal. But if, in fact, we went out and cleaned the inlet that's there today and discharged through that, you would have the identical circumstance that we're talking about today. It's just that the discharge would be lower down. So the presumption that where I am doing the discharge and the fact that it's one point now creates a problem, both my engineer and I do not agree with that. But the final conclusion in all this is, let's presume what Finelli's conclusions are is correct. At the end of the day, you have a capacity in the pipe system. That very well may be the circumstance, okay? I don't know. They believe that that is the condition that's out there today. I'm not sure what that's based on, but there's some presumption that, for that reason or that conclusion. And maybe Dawson can explain that to us, but we're not aware of it.
Dawson, what is the size of the storm pipes there?
They vary. And actually, there's a condition where we go from a larger pipe to a narrower pipe, which is uncommon.
Narrower pipe as you get closer to the stream?
Yeah, as you get downstream, it's normally you go smaller to larger. It slips for some reason.
It's a 21 to an 18 inch.
Yeah.
Dawson's 100% correct.
Yeah, so, I mean, that certainly is a question. And I think to really, I agree in part, because part of what Mr. Rice said was my concern, is that whether it's the water that they're adding to the system, which would then cause water not to be able to get into the system on the roadway from the municipal side, or vice versa. If too much water is already in the system, they then wouldn't be able to discharge appropriately either. So I think it works both ways. And I don't think we're necessarily making the assumption. That's the whole purpose of what we ask for, is to better understand what we think will happen. So we're trying to get a better feel for what happened. We're not making any assumptions necessarily, and I know he said his engineer doesn't agree. What we're asking for is some actual information to back up the opinion.
Somebody
so,
needs to do the math.
Yeah, basically, really, yes. And so that's really, I think, the crux of the point, is we're not saying we think there may be an issue, and we want some confirmation of whether it will absolutely be an issue to deal with later on for both on the development side of the property as well as the public side, or maybe it says that there's no issue at all. So we're not making that assumption at this point, and that was the whole point of the request, is we're looking to find that out.
Okay.
Here's the thing I have to add on that, though. So let's say I was willing to do this. Which I made the mistake of doing in Hackettstown, and I'm happy to tell everybody that. The correct way to do this, and Dawson will confirm this, you have to go out and do what they call a HEC 2 analysis. So what you actually have to do, just so everybody understands.
You're answering my question right
yes,
now.
Yes, we actually have to go out, and we have to model and figure out where the drainage basin is for this system right here. Okay? Now, why that's my responsibility, I don't know. And why they presume it's my responsibility, I don't know. Because the thing, I guess, that I'm a little bit perturbed about on this is to the extent that there was a condition out here, they could have, let's presume I never got this job approved, okay? If there's an issue that exists with that system today and somebody thinks it's an issue, as the municipal engineer, they should have came to you and said, you know what, that's not functioning down there. We need to study it. So what's happened now is we're coming in, we're developing the property. I've met the letter of the law with the standard in terms of best management practices and what you can do and can't do. But now I'm being told by the engineer that, wait a minute, yeah, you met the law, but there may be a problem right there, and you may have to go ahead and remedy the problem. And we're just not going to do it. And I'm not going to pay for the study. I told Mr. Finelli this, and I told Mr. Weber this. I absolutely will not do it.
Also, with the you know the size of the pipes, so you should know what the flow capacity is of those. Correct?
Theoretically, yes.
Yes.
Really, there's different methodologies. I mean, I don't want to get into a lot of the weeds in terms of. But he is correct that the methodology that would be preferable is to determine the area that this system drains from, the entire area, and figure out what the volume or the capacity is currently. And that's really the system. It's easy to figure out what the maximum capacity is,
right.
The size of
the
pipe, how much water can force through it. That's easy. It's in getting an idea of actually, based on how much water is coming, over what period of time, he's correct. It's a time, there's a whole bunch of different issues that have to be addressed in figuring that out. So it is a bit on the complicated side. But again, we understand that, you know, there's a potential issue here. We wanted to raise the potential issue. Certainly, if the right body were to have jurisdiction and want to, you know, waive that concern, they certainly have the opportunity to do that as well.
Right, I have a question.
Yes.
I'm certainly not an engineer, as you had said earlier, you're not, you're a developer, so you're quite more experienced than I am in this kind of thing. Maybe you've had discussions with your own engineer as to maybe some self-sustaining method, like a buffer system of your own or a catch basin type thing, and the cost involved in that for you doing that on your own, separate from that particular egress point, maybe to use, you know, the other one at the other end of the property, and somehow just make some sort of catch basin, like a buffer, to hold the water and then properly channel it out. Maybe, I don't know, and then avoid the study completely. So save that $20,000, put it towards actual, the remedy, if there was some, if you get what I'm saying.
Good suggestion. So here's what that means. Number one, I got to go back, I have to amend my pool.
Right.
Number two, I got to pay your professionals more money.
Maybe
to
not.
Review the thing again.
Okay?
And number three, at the end of the day, it could help the problem. It might not help the problem. So what it becomes is that, you know, if the standard's right here and I've met the standard, with all due respect to what you proposed, what we're actually saying now is here's the standard, but we want you to do this.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to avoid a problem.
Right.
You know, so...
Yeah. Right, but what I'm telling you is that, you know, if you walk into a store and some quote-unquote costs $1,
mm-hmm.
okay, you go up to the register and the guy says $1.10. You're like, really? What's going on? It says $1 on the price.
Sure.
Well, you know, maybe this is going to happen.
Okay, let's assume that, you know, you find a problem. Whose responsibility is it to fix it once it's out into the road? Because that's where the problem would be, right?
Well, and I think, again, that could be, I think, needs some interpretation from the attorneys, but I'll draw a little bit of a parallel. It's very common on a development project where if you're impacting the traffic, very simply, signalization, intersection, and you're going to be increasing traffic or you're going to be impacting the traffic in some way, that there is relief that's done on the municipal side from a development project to accommodate those impacts. So I would argue that this situation is really no different than that, except we're dealing with water instead of cars. So again, this is really a larger issue, and I think that goes to the direct point of ultimately who's responsible to deal with this issue. So we raise the issue that it may be there. Ultimately, I think somebody needs to make the decision, and it's certainly not the engineers or, you know, the design professionals, of ultimately whose responsibility would it be to undertake a study of that nature or to be responsible for dealing with that potential issue. And I don't know if it's any different because of the stormwater regs versus traffic impact studies, but I look at them as being very similar.
It's a flow issue, what you're saying.
A flow issue, whether it's traffic or whether it's...
Yeah. And that's exactly what I want to bring up, flow issue. Now, that's going to be dumped into the Shabcon, correct?
Yes, it is.
Are you aware of the property damage that's being done by the Shabcon when it rains downstream? And what kind of effect is this going to have on that?
It will have none. As Mr. Rice correctly indicated, they've met the stormwater management requirements. In other words, that being from a water quantity standpoint, they cannot discharge any more quantity over the same period of time as would be under the current conditions. So what I'm saying is they're not necessarily increasing the quantity that's going off the site. It's where it's going to in relation to the system outside.
Okay, so right now...
It's not going to have any impact on what that other issue is.
All right, well, I have a question right now. Right now, between the bank and the other building where the St. Cloud Road is,
mm-hmm.
the grass.
Yes.
Right. So, I mean, when the rain falls, the water is soaked by the grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's going to be a building there, correct?
Right.
With a roof and a gutter system, no doubt.
Blacktop.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, the system, I don't know where that's going to go, but that's taken away from where it's going to grab now.
But they've addressed those issues.
That's part of the whole analysis.
That's part of the whole analysis.
So, but that doesn't increase what's going to be...
It doesn't change. We're total agreement with that, has no issues, and I agree that they've met those standards.
Okay.
So...
My whole issue, I don't have a problem with your project, but my whole issue is if 2 years down the road and the problem does develop there, the burden's going to be on the borough again, and the taxpayers are going to have to foot the bill to correct it.
Well...
That's my whole issue, unless somebody can tell me something better.
You know what? I think you're correct. That's exactly the conclusion in Hackettstown. And... this is so similar to Hackettstown in many regards. First off, you got a state highway right here. They're dumping water. Okay? You got the municipality that's dumping water in there. Okay? You have then the actual entire drainage area that has to come into play. So at the end of the day, and where I'm going to disagree with Dawson again, and he seems like a nice fellow. I'm not here to disagree with him. But... he raised this issue about the traffic light. Excellent point. We're doing a project right now up in Sussex County. We're having to put in a traffic light. When I say we're having to put in a traffic light, it's two county roads. And because of the traffic that we have coming in off of this project, we got to put it in. So here's what happened, just so everybody's clear. First off, there was a health, safety, and welfare issue that was associated with the volume in our proximity to where this intersection was that we were going to exit onto. But secondly, here's what happened. The county came in. The engineering department looked at it. They had all the different flows and the ADTs for that intersection. So here's what's happening. Light's about $300,000. Would anybody take a guess how much we're going to pay for that on that light?
$1.2 million.
No. We're going to pay 5%.
Okay.
Because you know why? Because the existing volume that comes in there today is associated with traffic on county roads. So who's paying the 95%?
County.
Sussex County.
Mm-hmm.
It's 100% correct.
You're increasing by 5%.
100%. 100% the case. So if we followed what Dawson said and that, you know, again, I have a standard that I got to meet here. What Dawson's actually said is I may have liability because I'm in some way, shape, or form taking a condition that exists today that may not be good. And I don't know that anybody knows that one way or another. They may. They seem to say that they do. And that because of that, we bear some burden responsibility. Let's assume that we agreed with that, and I can tell you unequivocally we don't. But the only fair way to do it would be to actually go out and model the whole system and find out who's putting water in. So is it NJDOT? Is it the borough's collection system? Is it Jade Partners? Is it somebody else? Then somebody's got to come up and say, you know what, here's the fix. We got to rip up all the pipe. We got to take the 18-inch RCP, the 21-inch RCP, and we now got to put in 24-inch RCP, 30-inch RCP. And I can tell you right now, I'll bet the last dollar I got, I don't know if I got a dollar in my pocket, but if I did, that the largest payer of that is going to be the borough. And here's the worst of it. The project doesn't go forward because we have to go and do this study. And that study that I did in Hackettstown, half a year. That we all sat there and waited for this study to happen. So half a year for us to wait for the study to get happen, to done. And then we're going to come back and we're going to look and, I hate to tell you, but, you know, the fix in Hackettstown, the quote-unquote fix in Hackettstown, about $4 million.
Okay. So, Ms. Parikh, it is the intention of the attorneys that this goes before planning board and not council. Council has no...
This is correct. And, you know, I hear the arguments, compelling arguments are made. Unfortunately, the body that needs to hear these arguments and hear from the respective experts is the planning board. They put the conditions down in the resolution, and they are, without question, the proper body to hear the issues that you've brought up today.
Excuse me, but correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Ray correcting what he had said earlier, that actually we have the final jurisdiction because he is a developer in the redevelopment zone?
With the final jurisdiction over certain issues within the final agreement and okaying the agreement, but the conditions are imposed by the planning board. They hear from the experts. They hear testimony from the parties. That's their expertise, and they impose those conditions, and they're the proper body that these requests need to go before.
Well, okay. Well, I'm being about as disagreeable as it comes tonight. So, this condition on the stormwater is, in fact, in the redevelopment agreement. And
in your redevelopment agreement?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the redevelopment agreement. And we clearly are not going to do this study.
But what you say is you need to go before the planning board for relief from that, correct?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't agree with that. I believe that after consulting and having been in a few of these redevelopment agreements and consulting to my attorney, that we're entering into a redevelopment agreement with the redevelopment council, I guess we would call it, since I don't know if you guys have a formal council, but it ultimately is the borough. And that ultimately that condition could be removed.
Well, Ray, we retain professionals to get their opinion, and we have to, I personally have to go by what they tell me. She says it's got to go before the planning board, and my vote would be that's where you're going to have to go. I don't think we should make a decision tonight about it. The same way with our engineer. I got to go with their opinion. That's what we pay them for.
Add to it at all?
I don't, actually. I haven't seen a draft copy of the redevelopment agreement, unfortunately.
Is there any way to get a copy of it?
Well, you can have mine. I got it emailed to me. Okay.
Respectfully, you disagree with me. If you want to have your attorney send us something that gives some sort of statutory authority or some sort of authority for
yes.
Council,
you know,
yeah,
I mean,
that's fine. I believe that the draft of the agreement simply refers to the resolution, correct? And the conditions that are imposed.
But see, here's the thing. At the end of the day, and I'll say it one more time. One is, we're not going to do the study. So I'm going to stand in front of the planning board. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go through the same dog and pony show again. And I'm going to say I'm not going to do the study.
But I think that the planning board is the body that's better suited to hear the reasons why you're not going to do it and to be able to make a determination based on why they put
here's the condition. And maybe Dawson has a different interpretation. Gene Weber is going to say at the meeting, just so everybody's clear, the study needs to be done. That's what he's going to say. He's already told me. Mm-hmm. That is, in fact, his conclusion. So, okay, I'm going to sit there, you know, we'll run through. So, you know, where are we?
Well, I would like this. Right? The attorney's right. If you could have your attorney send something to them that has case law, statutory law, whatever, mm-hmm. and if we can do the research also on that to find out if, in fact, who has authority over this, whether it be the planning board or whether it be the council, I think that needs to be taken care of first. You're not going to get an answer. We're not going to move on it tonight, I don't believe, as a council.
If the planning board disagrees with the professionals, it wouldn't be the first time.
I understand what you're saying.
Well, it's not that, but you know what it is, folks? At the end of the day, I spend my money where I get the best result. And you know what we end up with? We end up with this layering where you're constantly going through stuff at the end of the day. And you know what? I love dealing in Washington Borough. The townhouse job has been a great success. Whether I ever did this job again, I think your town at the end of the day is going to end up being great. I really, really do. But see, what happens is we now have the people driving the car become the professionals. It's not the people spending money. And, you know, I'm at the stage in my life, and I know my partners are at the stage in their life where we're spending our money where we get the biggest bang for the buck. And I go in.
We have to do the same.
And in the end, you know, I've made it very clear what our position is on this, and I'm going to show up at the planning board. I'm not going to tell them any different. And I'm going to be right back before you guys again. Because Gene Weber is going to say that I need, and Mike Finelli has already told me point blank, and maybe Dawson can confirm this, that one of his most important things is stormwater management.
Clearly, there are two or three major items that we look at in any development, one being traffic, second being stormwater management. They're probably equal, one having no greater value than the other. And again, whether our opinion is that the study needs to be done, and we've raised questions as to why we think it should be done, at the end of the day, I think it's the attorneys that really are going to determine whether it's appropriate to request the applicant to do that. Really, so that's really the question. The question is not the technical side of the study, because there are issues. I think the question is responsibility, mm-hmm. right? And I'm not here to answer that question. I think that's a legal question, more so than anything else, or just the board and its purview of being able to grant relief based on the opinions. Because the board acts on the opinions of its professionals. They don't always have to agree with us. Sometimes they don't, and that's perfectly fine. We give our professional opinion, and everybody will then make a judgment. So we may, in all likelihood, go back to the board and say we believe the study is necessary. They can easily come back and say, we understand that, but we're going to decide to grant relief. And that's fine. I mean, we're perfectly okay with that. And it may be a question of, okay, the applicant isn't the appropriate party to do that. And if they make the correct argument for that, and that's fine too. So we raised the technical question. As far as responsibility, that's really not our purview. So we can't say, okay, we're going to let you go on that. We believe it's an issue. If we're not directing it at the right person, or the right, if the developer isn't the right entity to be able to be responsible for that, then that's more of a legal question at the end of the day. And whether it's here or, again, that's a jurisdictional issue, whether it's here or it's planning board. So all I would say is that the conditions that ended up in the redevelopment agreement were conditions that were set forth by the planning board. If ultimately at the end of the day the redevelopment agreement is strictly in the hands of the council, then I would argue the council should have heard the whole thing in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that's not true because hang on a minute. The condition on the stormwater management was raised by Finelli Engineering. Okay, that's how it got put in the resolution. And what I'm trying to say right now, just to, and I'll stop ragging my gums then, okay, because I could go on and on. But at the end of the day, it's as simple as this, in my opinion. I had to meet a standard. We met it. Finelli Consulting said, yep, you've met the standard and all that, but X, whatever X is. And now, because of that, we have to jump through all these hoops. I don't think the conclusion is going to be any different. You either got a problem or you don't have a problem. If you got a problem, then it's who's responsible and why. So in the end, it's great for them because they get work out of it. They're able to charge fees, okay? And it does nothing because the project just sits here dead. I mean, I'd really like to hear where it all goes at the end of the day. It's great for the professionals because I have to keep paying escrow fees. That's what it is. You know, by the way, just so everybody knows, while we're on that subject, I got a bond release coming up on my other project, okay? I get an email from Steve Grunberg that I was copied on to Pat Titus, saying that he had three bills that hadn't been paid. I sent back, I think this bond release is actually on tonight, as a matter of fact. Okay. So he sends an email out saying, it's okay to do X, Y, and Z, but the bond should not be released, the cash portion of the bond should not be released until all professional bills are paid. I send out an email saying, hey, Steve, and he copies me on this email. You know, by the way, if you think that your bills haven't been paid, you have to go to the borough, because that's the proper course of action.
Right.
Well, when all the research was done by Barbara, at the end of the day, two of the bills that he claimed hadn't been paid had in fact been paid. And the one bill that was not paid, I think, was $90. So he actually was trying to hold up the release of my bond, 30, whatever it is, some odd thousand dollars, for $90. And with all due respect to Dawson and you know, what their take is on this thing, in my opinion, it's about the opportunity to build fees. And I've just had it. I had it with Finelli on my Washington Square job. I told Mike Finelli on that one. I met with him on this one right here, and I just said, you know what? You guys charge too much money. And that's what I see going on here. And I'm done.
Is it the consensus of the board here that this goes back to the planning board?
So move.
Yep.
Okay. If you have a second, any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
And any abstentions?
Can I ask you one favor on that? I'm not going to go.
Okay. That's your
okay.
Right.
If you guys can write a narrative, we'll send in a written letter. They can appear. They can make their case, but we're not going.
Okay. That's within your rights.
Yep.
Okay. You said there was one other issue?
No.
No. We're done here?
We're done.
Okay.
What type of narrative, right? Like a transcript from our council minutes? Is that what you're looking
no.
for?
No. No. I'm just going to, I'll have the engineer write a thing on this stormwater thing.
Okay.
We're not going to appear.
And Ethel and I can.
And that's it.
Can speak to it.
You know, because there's nothing else I can add at the end of the day. And I think that, you know, I made my opinion on this abundantly clear and, you know, what I think's going on. And, we're just not going to participate. That's it. Thank you very much for your time.
I just want to say one other thing before Ray leaves.
Sure.
Right. We're all partners in this together. And I understand that this stormwater situation, some of it you're like inherited from existing conditions. And you made a good illustration with the traffic lights, and I understand that, yeah, maybe it's only 5% of your responsibility. Without a study, you can't determine exactly what the percent is. However, because we're partners, I can understand that maybe there's some sort of compromise that can, you know, be made out of this. So I would, you know, suggest maybe, you know, talking to your engineer again, see if there's some other solution we can come up with to try to, you know, keep this going and still consider the problem that may or may not exist and to what extent it does exist.
Well, you know, again, and I'll just be real brief on this. I have a different viewpoint. I'm going to spend just on acquiring the property probably $1 million. Okay? The building, $3.5 million. And you can look at the taxes that you're collecting there today and contrast with the taxes that you will collect. And what the people living there will do for the main street, et cetera. And so, I get what you're saying. And you know, because I always try to be objective.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the bigger picture, the best thing that could happen for the borough at large would be for the job to go forward.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Right.
Okay.
And the real true analysis that needs to be done is the study that I did in Hackettstown. And that was a $20,000 study, and I'm not going to pay it. And if you really want to identify what the problem is, that's the way you do it. And that's the equitable way to do it, because then you really do define the issue. There is really no interim solution from an engineering perspective when it comes to stormwater management, because you have to understand the drainage area. It's a capacity issue. And it's a control issue and the size of the pipe.
So you're suggesting that maybe we pay part of that, and then you would...
I don't, my own personal opinion, I was out there today when it was raining, it's about as heavy as I've seen in a long time. It looked like it was functioning. That's my opinion. And again, like I said, my whole standard on this is I have to go by what the law says. The law says that we did it, they agree with it, but they're saying, yeah, we agree, but, you know, we really don't agree. And so we're caught up in that, and, you know, time is money. That's what it boils down to. And the longer, you know, we talk on and on about this, our basis in the property just goes up. We're paying taxes. We still have to pay utility connection fees and all that, and it doesn't do anything to help the job. And that's my viewpoint.
I see that.
Okay, so you're going to have your attorney send something, or our attorneys are going
to
read
it. No, I'm going to have it sent to Steve Grunberg. We'll send the narrative, and it's not going to be any
different.
No,
I'm talking about...
on the other thing, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So that's it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, we have no minutes. That would take us to our correspondence.
Make a motion to receive and file.
Second. Okay. Any other discussion on the correspondence?
Need a motion for relay.
I'd like to make.
When you're done.
Well, yeah, when we're done with this. I would just like to point out that one of the correspondents is a standards and poor rating report. We went up two levels.
So,
double A.
Yeah,
I mean, if it's possible.
Stable.
I'd like to just make a statement at it from that.
Sure.
To the record, just so the public knows that it was in the opinion of this study that the borough's debt and contingent liabilities profile is adequate with current fund debt service of 12% of current fund expenditures and net direct debt of 140% of current debt revenue. At this time, the borough does not anticipate issuing additional debt for the foreseeable future, and we consider an institutional framework score for New Jersey itself to be strong. And they did raise it to double A.
All right, all in favor of receiving the file?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, for the Relay for Life. Somebody like to make a motion for Paint the Town?
Make a motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay, is there any other discussion on that?
Yes, Steve. Where'd you get that request from?
Your wife.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Any
abstentions? Okay. At this point, I'd like to open up the public hearing on the introduction of the 2014 municipal budget. Mr. Ferry, you have anything you'd like to say at this point? No?
An hour? 2 hours?
You got 15 minutes.
2 minutes?
That sounds better than 15.
I do.
2 years for break.
All right, so tonight we're having the introduction on the budget.
No, the public hearing.
The public hearing on the budget. We already had the public hearing. There is a budget amendment that we have in place. So tonight we can't adopt the budget. All we can do is just have the public hearing on the introduced budget. The amendment tonight, after the public hearing, the amendment's up for introduction. Once the amendment gets introduced, there is a waiting time. And what's the date from the...
We'll advertise the amendment on the 25th of April, and then we'll adopt the budget.
Amendment.
The amendment.
And then you're going to adopt the budget.
The budget on May 6th.
On May 6th. The budget as introduced right now, the average assessed house was $142,600. And we kept that the same as last year and this year. You did have a change in your net value. It actually went up from $370 million to $372 million. So that's nice because now you have a broader base to spread your tax rate on. So using that average assessed house, $142,600, with the library, because if you remember, the library and the municipal taxes are separate now. Let's say with
the library. Last year, just for municipal, a homeowner would have paid $2,102.78. And that's just municipal. This year, with this budget, again using the same assessed house, the introduced budget, the taxpayer would pay $2,090.15, a difference, actually a decrease of $12.63. The budget amendment will change this, and actually, I can't really, I'm not really supposed to discuss the, because it's already being introduced. Once we get to the, Natasha will probably be here, if you want, I'll be here too. We could discuss it in open public about the amendment itself.
Okay.
So, that's really all I have.
Anyone from the public who would like to comment on the budget? I would accept a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Okay, one of you can have the second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, now that takes us to Resolution 61-2014, an introduction of the 2014 amended municipal budget.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that? Hearing none, let's do a roll call on that one, please.
Hayden?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conley?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
At this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests. Mrs. Klimko, you know the drill.
Robin Klimko, 35 West Marvel Street, Washington, New Jersey. A couple things I wanted to find out. Number one, our road department, what are they doing about these potholes?
Patching as they get the material.
And what's the issue with the material? I thought we had material.
Well, we have material. We're still using cold patch. Right now, I have sinkhole and a municipal parking lot. I have an exposed drain on Nunn Avenue, and I also have broken storm drains on Flower Ave. So I only have five, you know, part-timers, so we're doing the best we can.
Well, no, I know it's been like 5 weeks since some of these potholes have been reported. I don't know when all this stuff occurred, but...
They, as we get them in, we report them, and they go out and fix them.
Well, I know. They were reported, but they're not being fixed.
Okay. Well, if you want to email my office tomorrow or email Debbie, we'll tell them again. But right now, the priority is Flower, Nunn, and a parking lot.
And justifiably so. You have those issues. Okay. Second thing. The road department is now taking scrap metal, correct?
Not specifically. There is a dumpster on the road department property that accepts, we can put scrap metal in, but the road department is not in charge of it.
Oh, who is?
The borough, really.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, if they see you dumping something in that's not metal, they'll
say
something.
No, no, no. The question was just asked, and I thought the same thing. If the borough was doing that, where is the proceeds from that scrapping of that metal going?
Oh, I know.
Coming
to
us now.
Now, that's a lot of research.
Washington Township, Bergen County. They've been sending the checks to the wrong place. And in the manager's report, listen, been hot on that, because they're making me look bad, is that they were going to reissue checks to us.
That's correct.
Have they done that yet?
We expect them anytime this week.
All right. That's a good thing you're up here with that, Robin, because I was going to bring that up. They have 7 days to get us a check. If they don't give us 7 days, by next Tuesday, we don't have a check, I want that dumpster out of there.
Okay.
Another thing, this project that was just being discussed, as a person who gets affected by the storm drain water, we were told that the Square One project would not affect that stream, which it very apparently has. I agree with David 350%. When you have grass, you have a sponge. You take that grass away, you no longer have a sponge. Where's that is an increase of water into that stream, number one. Number two, it dissipates out like this right now, and I understand exactly what he's saying about it's sheeting off, it's going here, there, and they're going to direct it to one place. When they direct that to one place, that is one strong force that's going into that stream, so it makes that stream go instead of it trickling in a little bit at a time from here, there, whatever. That's a concern for myself with this project that maybe, I know you guys are basically putting this back to the planning board. I don't know how that information gets or if he comes before you again to the planning board regarding that matter.
You could go to the planning board.
Okay, then I will. Because that is a big concern. Because it's like taking a hose and just letting it flow across your driveway and it kind of goes everywhere and then putting a hose in one direction and just having it wash everything out, and that's exactly what will happen with that project. Number four or five, what's going on with this whole project with replacing storm drain on South Prospect?
It's not storm drain.
Or the
sewer drain.
Sewer.
I got it all.
That's another question on our list.
Jeff? The stream project.
Mm-hmm.
And the South Prospect Gardener Court sewer project.
Right, because we were told the gentleman that was coming out to do the topographical examination, he needed to have the weather break, and it has. And 30 days to give the owner of the
right away.
Quickie Mart, right, for the right away.
It's not the Quickie Mart, it is a homeowner in the borough, and the letter just went out about a week and a half ago. We're waiting to hear back from that homeowner.
Oh, so we're not going through the...
No, that was incorrect information.
It's the property behind the Quickie Mart, actually.
Right, but I thought you were going on the parking lot side of the fence that was going to go through the property.
That is not correct.
So the whole time we've been waiting, we were waiting on the wrong landowner.
Let me ask you a question, Kristen. How long before, was there a time frame in that letter?
We asked 2 weeks, so I expected it soon.
And if we don't hear anything in 2 weeks?
I'll have to make a personal phone call.
Okay.
I don't know how else to get their attention. It's definitely not the Quick Mart. It's the homeowner.
Right, because I know the last meeting we discussed this, we were waiting for the letter that was sent to the owner of that strip mall for permission to go through the back parking lot.
That was incorrect.
So
on the map.
Okay. So we're waiting on that. And that's holding up the whole project.
No. I'll get to that.
Okay. Well, then I guess, can I interject when he brings up this other stuff later if I have any questions, since I don't know what he's got changes in the questions I'm asking.
I mean, Dave, if you want to bring some of it up now,
okay.
Feel free.
At our last council meeting, or maybe it was even one before, we talked about Chris providing us with a not-to-exceed letter for the project. And I think we said that we wanted it for this meeting to approve. It's not in our email. Well, it's not my email. And it's not in the package. It's getting old, and it's getting old real quick. I would like to have that within 7 days. That's part of my, 7 is the number tonight.
Lucky 7, son.
7. And if you can't provide it, maybe we need to find somebody who can.
This would be the second deadline you've given him for this?
Second? Listen, when we first started back in January, now let me give you a history on this. Back in January, I was supposed to have information on January 18th, but I didn't get until April 24th.
I realize that there's been a series of problems like that. I'm talking about just for this request.
We were supposed to break ground last month.
Yeah.
According to the engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Suffice it to say right now, I'm not real happy.
Right.
It was supposed to be done before school.
I'm not real happy. And along with that, the 7 days, we were supposed to have a surveyor or somebody come out and check out the stream damage down there when the weather broke. That hasn't happened.
Right, when the snow, and he said he couldn't
come
out because of the
snow. And we were supposed
to
get a report on that. He needs to be out there within 7 days.
Now, that's for the stream, correct?
Yes. But he said he was going to, listen, Chris said that he was going to have somebody out there.
Mm-hmm.
He told us in a meeting that he was, when the weather broke, somebody would be out there to walk that stream and check
and that these
out.
Two projects would run together.
Dave, let me just clarify one thing for you. You're talking 7 calendar days.
I'm talking until next Tuesday.
7 calendar days.
That's right.
Okay. Just to be a little more
Friday,
specific.
Friday's
in the letter.
A holiday. And it's Easter, so, you know,
God told me to give them until Tuesday.
The water shall rise again. I got you.
I know I'm making a joke about it.
Yeah.
But I'm really not happy.
No.
Really not happy about this. Because we were supposed to have conceivably started this project last month in March. Now, we still don't have the approvals. We don't have Kevin's letter either saying that they could do that. Do we have Judy's letter saying that that can be done as far as with Veolia?
No, I don't have that from her yet either.
It's no 7 days.
I know.
We won't have it 7 days.
She's got seven. Right?
Yeah.
And my concern is when we spoke to them in that meeting, they said both projects would be starting at the same time.
Yep.
Well, we've seen the plans and the presentation for the sewer drain. We haven't even had the guy come out even look at the stream yet.
Right.
So we
Another
haven't
question.
Had his information. So how are they both going to start at the same time when one hasn't started and one's semi-sorted?
But I don't know about the embankment. I mean, I don't believe that this governing body has approved that project.
We did. For the guy to come out and survey the damage.
To just do the survey, but
he hasn't done that yet.
But to not move forward with a riprap project.
I understand.
No, just
but he hasn't come out with the survey yet either.
Look at it.
Right. So you can't do anything without that.
Who do you intend this letter to be sent to?
Mr. Jepson. Actually, you know what? Send it to Mr. Van Cleef.
That's where I was going with it. Let's
send it to Mr. Van Cleef. You know what? Save the letter, because that's going to take 4 days. That gives the guy 3 days. I say, no. Give him a phone call.
I will.
Okay. And do you have a bullet list kind of things of what is lacking or has been lacking over the course of time?
No, but I can get you one.
Okay. I think that would be interesting for the owner, the principal.
Right. Okay.
No, yes.
So, one other question. Well, we have, and we're talking about stormwater.
Yes.
Have you been contacted by the sewer engineer for moving the storm drain that is on South Prospect Street?
We had some initial discussions.
Tell me it was in January.
A little while ago, it initially came up, and I understand that from the sanitary standpoint, in terms of whatever the design, we essentially said we'd hold off until they got further along with what they were doing. I have not since heard back, so I went out and initially looked at it, but we didn't really have any substantive discussion.
Okay.
Christine, to answer your question, one of the reasons why you guys approved the guy to go out and do a survey, an evaluation, was to evaluate what the stream does, how it impacts, and what a resolution would be to impact that. Because, again, if that doesn't get fixed, even though you're making this improvement to that sewer line, if that keeps flooding, you just threw your money away again. Because they both are in conjunction together. They are not two separate problems. So they both need to be, you know, addressed. I mean, now today, before I came here, this much of my yard I lost today, with the rain. So that's almost another foot of property that now has literally just gone. And I don't have more than that from here to there left. So it's creating a problem. So David, when you ask these questions, like, is this going to be taken care of?
Oh, no. That was my point, that I want his not-to-exceed letter by in 7 days. I want, what else did I want? Oh, I want that surveyor out there within 7 days.
And here's
the reason, my reason for 7 days is we have another meeting in 14 days. So that should be enough time for them to go out there and do what it is that they need to do and have that to us by our next council meeting. But his not-to-exceed letter needs to be to you in 7 days.
Yeah, because the last 3 or 4 meetings we've asked for the same information and hasn't gone anywhere.
And you can tell. This is it.
When's our next meeting?
I don't know. They're gonna be within the next 2 weeks, my kids get here. That's all I have on that.
Okay.
Anything else, Mrs. Klugel?
Nope, just I hope that these things get pushed, so we're not like 3 more months, 6 more months, we're next year, and we're asking the same questions, and we're now in year 10 on this issue. So, all right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? You know the drill also?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Good evening. We have 3 issues.
Name and address for the record, please.
Name and address. Reverend Brocknight, pastor of Mount Pisgah, 169 North Lincoln.
Thank you.
Our first question is, when can we expect a correspondence? It was stated at the last meeting that there will be written correspondence to the correspondence that we delivered, and we have not received.
I just started working on the letter.
So are we waiting a week, another 2 weeks?
This should go out tomorrow, Thursday.
Thank you. Okay. The other issue is the question of the use of the parking lot next to Wells Fargo by Domino's Pizza. The question is, who governs that? Because when they're on a rush for delivery, they make a wonderful left turn out of the parking lot and twice.
So they're coming from behind Domino's out to 57?
They park
in the park.
in the drive-through for the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Or they block part of the exit of coming out, and then instead of just making the mandatory right,
they make a left.
And they're not supposed to.
And the only reason why I realized it was that I had someone almost in the side of my vehicle. So I don't know who we report that to. It is a concern. I don't know who has a relationship, if it's a yes or no.
The bank has a sign on it, too.
Well,
There's a huge sign on the bank. Yes.
Of what, no parking?
No left turn.
Right,
because you really can't see
arrow,
because the cars park to the end of the park,
right to the edge.
And they just fly out.
I think the owner of the building owns the lot.
The owner of which building? Wells Fargo?
Yeah, but Domino's shouldn't be parked there.
The key is that no left turn sign covered by an ordinance to where a summons could be issued. Because they have to be covered by an ordinance, correct?
It's on the side of the building, posted in black and white with a mirror. I can't remember.
I think the issue, just because the sign's up there doesn't mean it's enforceable.
Well, Mr. Jones, is it not against the law to cross a double yellow line?
That's what I was
going to
say, exactly, right.
So is that not a state ordinance?
Right.
You have to cross.
I would know.
Yes, you cannot cross a double yellow line.
Right.
So that's where the, you know,
okay.
The violation would occur. With that, you know.
That's probably why the bank put that there.
So should we have the manager write a letter to the owner of Domino's telling them that they have been observed breaking the law and stop?
That would help. Yeah, sure.
We can start there, and we can make the chief of police aware of it.
I think we should start with the police, but I can write a letter.
Yeah.
And certainly notify the police is certainly a good idea as well.
Yeah, I mean, the police have to see it.
Right.
Okay.
In order to write the summons up.
I think my main concern is somebody else
getting
hit.
Hurt.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
Sure. Thank you for that.
And the last question is Ramapo Way. Where the mailboxes are, we got plowed in this winter, and I know there was not a lot of room to put all the snow, but when it's not snowing and it's just cold, if there happens to be water, it's either a sheet of ice and you travel at your own risk, you cannot get the mail, or as in today, with the extra rain, it was completely flooded again. So if you try to step, there are potholes in the front, and I understand, again, we're waiting for potholes to be repaired. But it's either you step into the hole or you step into water that comes over the top of your shoes, and it's either you get your mail or you don't get your mail. And 9 times out of 10, most of us are not going to get the mail until either it dries up. And I don't know, is that private property by the post office or is that public property by the town, by the borough?
Yeah.
I don't know what that jurisdiction is.
Where's your mailbox? Is it on your property?
It's that group of...
It's a group of boxes.
Bail boxes right on the side of the road at the entrance to the...
Oh, at the entrance to the complex?
Yeah, the complex.
I still believe that it's probably a private property of the complex.
I would think so. Ms. Bree, do you have any insight on that?
I do not know. I'm not sure where we're talking about.
Why would it be part of DOT?
Essentially, what it is that the road's coming down, and there's a group of mailboxes right on the corner. It's 50 mailboxes or something like that.
No, it's not. It's Ramapo Way.
And, you know, and here's Route 57. So they're just kind of in here. I believe it's a public street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the mailboxes are right there.
The road follows us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And patches on a pothole.
Or is that just something we have to look into?
That's something that we would need to look into. I can't answer that off the top of my head.
Something else for your list?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On that property there, who owns that section of the sidewalk and stuff?
Property owner, Harris Park.
Oh, we have to 57?
I'm gonna meet all the way up to 57. Explain the scenario.
Well, the mailbox, sorry, that sidewalk is that, right? At the 57?
I know what you mean, but I really have to go look at it to...
Would you be there?
I think so.
Okay.
Who is further property?
Mailbox. Where we put the mail, where their mailboxes are is borough property.
I think so.
Okay. We'll figure it out.
I don't know.
Part of the right way. Okay, anyone else from the audience? Hearing none, I'd accept a motion to close the audience portion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Reports.
Any motion to receive and file the report?
I just have one request. If we, can we get the highway department report a little sooner? I mean, this is April and we get February's. We should have Marches this time of year, I would think.
Okay, anything else?
I have a question about the Washington Township Police Department.
Okay.
On the mileage. Can we get a breakdown of our mileage, not that they travel throughout?
I can ask the chief.
Also, on that same report.
Probably impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, I mean,
how would you clock when you come into the borough, clock when you leave?
Well, they could say, they're responding from the river to Oxford, then back to Washington again.
Yeah.
To charge.
That's tough to do, Rich.
Okay, I'm just...
Well, in regard to that particular report, I'd like a little bit more specific wording. It says other types on the second line from the bottom on that monthly report, so I want that a little bit more specified. I think that would, you know, help us a lot.
Say that again, Rob. What is it you're looking for?
I'm looking for a little more specified, you know, what they mean here. It says other types of activity. So what other types? Is my question.
Right, is it miles, is it calls, or...
I don't know what they mean, so...
Investigations,
I I'd like that, you know, interesting as well.
Any other comments?
Yeah. The health report.
Okay.
Mold seems to be pretty prevalent on the front page of this, and particularly in the gym.
At school,
a reinspection is scheduled. When is Roman? This is dated the 8th. Do we know when that reinspection was done and what happened?
No, I'd have to follow up with you.
Please.
Yeah.
It's pretty important.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Committee reports. Code book committee.
Okay. Code book committee. Basically, we were asked at the last meeting to address the concern of the Mr. Court and Jeff Palmer, specific, wrote us a letter regarding our ordinance 75.6, which regards impeding traffic on the sidewalk. We looked at and discussed that, and we recommend changing the wording to "no person or persons shall impede travel on any sidewalk or roadway unless authorized by council for a temporary purpose." So that changes it a little bit and should make it a lot clearer to what it originally had said.
There's supposed to be a certain amount of freeway that they get by. Is that state statute, or is that covered by our ordinance?
No, that wasn't the question. What do you mean by it?
When you put the tables out, there's supposed to be, for lack of a better term, adequate passageway past the establishment, so that whatever they're putting out does not block the road.
Or the walkway.
We didn't make a determination as to the footage in terms of that particular wording for that.
Is that something that's in our borough code, or is that a state code?
That would be in our borough code.
It's not in any borough code.
It's not, you know, it should be, but it's not in there now. We could add that, and that's certainly, you know.
Do you think that's advantageous?
Well, no, because I think that actually, in some circumstances, you might have a situation where the bid might have some authorized, you know, function that they might be doing, where it involves maybe setting up a stage, which would take up double, you know, space in the sidewalk. You know, other situations where the only problem might occur, you know, without extra hindrance on the, you know, public, would be to actually impede the flow of maybe, you know, two people walking together or a carriage. If we want to set an actual footage, you know,
we want to make
do
sure
that
there's enough room for two-way traffic so people don't go walking
down
the streets.
Yeah, I think his question was just to basically clarify whether or not the impeding the traffic, you know, was clear, because the original verbiage said "in no person or person shall in any way obstruct," okay, and yet the subject of that particular ordinance was impeding travel. So it's kind of two different verbs were used, so therefore it was a little bit confusing to the judge. I think this would definitely help to clarify, you know, the whole thing. And it also allows for situations like a garage sale where it's a temporary permit, so they can actually, you know, we can approve that and authorize, you know, or a special event, as I had mentioned, maybe with a bid or even without the bid, some business comes before the, you know, the council and requests the permission to use a certain percentage of the sidewalk. As long as it doesn't impede the travel of pedestrians, that should be fine.
And who would enforce this? Would it be code enforcement officer?
Code enforcement, of course.
So Rudy, since you're here, do you have any suggestions for something like that?
Yes. It's still vague what they're suggesting. Business owner can come before council and say, "I request permission to put some merchandise tables out on the sidewalk." Yeah, fine. Okay. You can do it from this month to that month.
Mm-hmm.
How much are they going to consume of that sidewalk? The problem
is, as long as it doesn't impede the travel of pedestrians. That's why we didn't decide to make it any specific amount.
Again, just yesterday, we had a follow-up on my summons to this business owner.
Okay.
And Judge Palmer delayed it again, waiting for clarification on the code. I think Judge Palmer is looking for distance, measurement.
Footage.
Footage.
Well, we could actually set, if we, the council would decide to do that. I mean,
yeah,
I would open to that.
Again,
certainly.
I could say, as a business owner, I want to put a table out in front of my business.
Sure.
Okay. That table could be 8 feet in diameter, and yet you approved it. That only leaves maybe 36 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? My suggestion is minimum of 48 inches with council's approval.
Okay, then so let me get at that. And I have no problem. If we want to make it for 48 inches, then no matter what, whatever occurs, they're going to be in violation of the ordinance if they go over that 4 foot, you know, sidewalk.
Okay.
So, yes, I mean, fine. If the council wants to, you know, change the wordage to that, you know, I'm open to that.
Just check the ADA accessibility requirements. That's really what you want to base it upon.
Mm-hmm.
At least from a minimum standpoint, you want to have enough passage for somebody in a wheelchair, not
sure.
only to move in one direction, but to also turn around.
Yeah.
So there's certain spatial requirements for that, and I think that's
a good point. You've
got to have 48 inches inside a ADA toilet facility.
Yeah, it's 40. I'm almost positive it is 40.
Yeah, so whatever is that consistent in that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be easier with council's approval, and they have to have 48 inches of clearance.
Mm-hmm.
That would be much more enforceable. Now, Judge Palmer also delayed this case again until he gets, you know, hears back from the borough as to what they're going to do with the ordinance.
Sure.
So he believes he's rescheduled them to May to come back
mm-hmm.
to the court.
Well, how does the council want to proceed, the rest of the council? Because,
yeah, right, it's in the ordinance, right?
Mr. Torres, there are two blind individuals in
mm-hmm.
the borough.
Sure.
Their cane goes side to side.
I understand that. I have no problem with that. I'm trying to address that, right.
I would be happy to just check the regulations to make sure of the,
okay.
of the current standard, if that's something that
mm-hmm.
you'd like me to look into.
Okay. Yes. So that would require a change of our ordinance?
Right.
Yeah,
yeah mm-hmm.
it would.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's about a 6-week process.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But tell the judge of the first month of July.
Council sends them a letter what their intention is. I think that may satisfy him, Judge Palmer, and the business owner that is currently before the judge.
Okay.
Yeah, because he can base it on what's out there now, the code that's in existence.
So when we get the confirmation of what that number is,
sure.
we'll have the manager send a letter to the court
okay.
stating what our intention is, that it's
okay.
so that it's ADA compliant at however many inches.
We never stay up.
7:30. Okay, anything else, Mr. Torres?
That's all.
Any other committee reports this evening? Okay. We're not going to be bothered with the old business right now. That's been satisfied. That takes us to Resolution 50-2014. Authorization to apply for a recycling tax.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on that one? Do we need a roll call on that one, Christine?
Yeah, we should.
Okay,
Higgins?
Roll call.
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Sora?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Connor? Yes. Tom?
Yes.
Okay. 51-2014, funds for 2 Reliance Construction.
So moved.
Thank you. It's so warm in here today. We had to open these windows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now it's getting cold out.
It's funny.
I know.
Okay, did we have a motion on this one?
Yep.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on this one?
Mm-hmm.
And a roll call on that one, please.
Thompson?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Soros?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conrad?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Okay, 52-2014 for release of a cash performance bond to Jade Acquisition.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on this one? And another roll call, please.
Soros?
Yes.
Conrad?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Let's do 53-2014 of a refund of a tax payment intended for the township.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one? And another roll call.
Connery?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Okay. I think we can do 54 and 55 together. One's a redemption of a tax certificate, the other's a refund of overpayment of taxes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on this one? These two. Roll call, please.
Jones?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
56. Temporary budget for the current fund.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Roll call on that one, please.
Torres?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Connery? Yes. McDonald?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
57, 2014, temporary budget for the sewer.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on that one? Roll call again.
Conner?
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Okay, and 62, 2014, approval of sale of municipal property.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on this one at all? Another roll call, please.
Jones?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Conner?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Thompson?
15.
That brings us to the public hearing for the sewer increase in the sewer connection fees. So I will open that up to the public.
I make a motion we close the public hearing on the sewer connection fees.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution 60, 2014, establishing the sewer connection fees.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on these? Roll call, please.
Hagan?
Yes.
Conner?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Vouchers.
Make a motion to pay the bills.
Second.
Okay, are there any discussion on the vouchers?
Question.
Mr. Thompson.
Page one. The poster compliance center. Just play through it. What's that?
Is there a mandatory by the state compliance with OSHA regulations, compliance with salary and wages, Department of Labor, okay, et cetera?
And the last one I had is page 10. And it's the mileage. Where it is. Oh, there it is. ACF. We pay mileage for her? Or?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just had
she is a Toronto vehicle.
Okay.
Where is the vehicle that we had for animal control?
That. We never had one. That was okay. Their own personal vehicle. But they never asked us about it.
Okay.
Cheaper than buying her own vehicle.
She works for a lot of municipalities, just like the previous animal control. I don't know if it's feasible. I mean, we all bought one together.
You have to be sure, so. I mean, she don't give a breakdown on how much she needs.
I see a breakdown,
okay.
Yes.
I'm just curious.
Okay, anything else on the vouchers? Roll call, please.
Sorry.
Yes.
Conner?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes. I think so far something else.
That will bring us to our recap.
No, I have to put my glasses on because there's so much here tonight. Okay.
It's good we have a recording then.
We will remove the restoration bonds from the developer's agreement. I'll work with Leslie to research who has the authority over the redevelopment area and the redevelopment agreement. I will make sure we receive our checks from Spinelli within 7 days. A letter will go to the owner of Van Cleef, or Mr. Van Cleef, himself, regarding the stream surveyor, and the not-to-exceed letter we are waiting for from Mr. Jefferson. We will write a letter to the owner of Domino's and contact the police department about traffic exiting onto 57.
What about the bank? Do you send one to them too or not?
There's nothing to do about it.
They
already have a sign up.
Okay.
They already know about it.
We'll look into the Ramapo Way mailbox issue. I'll find out if the health department did a re-inspection at the school. I'll see if the police can give me a breakdown of miscellaneous types of calls. I'll work with Leslie on the ADA requirements for sidewalks. Make sure the DPW reports are up to date. And that's all I have, Mayor.
Okay.
I do have one other thing I'd like to add, if I could.
Okay, hold on.
I just wanted to clarify, we had the presentation by Ray Rice, and, you know, it's my legal opinion that the jurisdiction lies with the planning board. Are we to do the research prior to receiving something from Mr. Cohen?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you simply, I'm pretty confident that the jurisdiction lies with the planning board. Would you like me to wait for something from him before I look into it?
Yeah, that would be a good idea, I think, to save some money. But the issue that I was directing that at is who has control over the developer's agreement, and why was that put in there if the council has the control over the developer's agreement? You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. I think that it was referred to in the developer's agreement as a condition that was imposed by the planning board.
Okay.
So, but certainly,
if you could just read that and not charge us $300 for it, that'd be great.
That's my understanding of it, but yeah, I think as far as the jurisdiction goes, I wanted to make sure, because I don't see the need to do research unless they come up with something that's...
Okay, thank you.
Should do it for $150. It's your break.
Coffee, maybe?
Are we going into executive session?
Yeah. Christine, there's one other thing we're going to bring up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Chris.
I did, Mayor, okay, if I could ask Council a question. We've had, as you all know, we've had an ongoing issue at Cattell Court with who owns what property, who owns the street. It's becoming an everyday complaint from certain homeowners down in the area. It becomes an issue during emergency situations, if there is one. Becomes an issue when there's garbage pickup. I know that in the past, council has heard some of the homeowners before them, and we had asked to do a title search on those properties, or at least the street in the area. It was brought to, I think, the council by Councilman Torres, and it failed. I would like to bring it back to council and ask them to consider doing a title search in the area, so we could put this to rest once and for all.
We didn't do the title search last time?
We did not.
It was because what happened was the...
What was
the
it? We
we
got a lot of paper.
Our attorney to Cushing was for a company that he investigated. He gave us a quote for...
$2,000.
Way over $2,000 for this particular title search that was involved, and I came back with a proposal which was half that from a local... title search company, and so yeah, it was kind of delayed at one point until the next budget meeting, and then tabled after that. So really, it's just unfinished business, basically.
I'm not familiar with this,
but it definitely.
Yeah, last year.
At the same time, there's issues that maybe came up tonight that can be done by the same title search company at minimal fee. Additional, maybe, you know, because this issue of Ramco Way with postal mm-hmm. boxes is a title search issue. Because
well,
other,
I think we could find that out on
yeah,
a tax map.
Well, you can, but
yeah.
The tax map, you cannot go by tax maps. They are sometimes inaccurate. You have to go by the deeds. So, I mean, any good attorney can verify that basically the deed is the instrument that you look for these real estate answers. Right.
You have something to add? Okay.
Okay.
From the fire department's standpoint, I haven't seen it myself, but I've been told that, you know, you got trees going across the lane, and in the event of a structural fire or anything or any sort of like that, you have to create a major problem. Getting an engine back there, two engines, whatever the case may be, could be a liability issue as well.
I believe that was expressed to the homeowner or the landowner at that time, that
okay.
If he blocks it, it could block emergency services.
Absolutely, and the liability will fall on the homeowner, so maybe he should be informed of that.
I believe he was, but we can certainly inform him again.
Okay.
My concern for is to get the title search done, to make sure that the borough is not held that liability in any way, you know, going forward. This will put an end to, you know, where the liability will lie, and that should close the book at it. And certainly, the sooner we do this, God forbid, there was an emergency, the clock is ticking. If, you know, there is to be one, it might happen tomorrow. And by that time, you know, we're, of course, not going to have it happen. But if it happens, we do the title search first. Of course, the sooner the better.
I think the letter needs to go out very fast, too.
I mean, are you sure, I'll ask you directly,
yeah.
Bob, that are you sure that a title search will end this?
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
that
absolutely.
It won't end up in court or...
It can always end up in court. However, that's
yeah.
that's with anything. I mean, there's any issue can come up. Anybody could express an opinion and have a suit, but that's still, from the borough's perspective, that will give us what we need in case we do go to court, okay? So that would help us a great deal. So certainly $1,250 or basically thereabouts was what the proposal was last year. I'm sure it's not going to be considerably more than that if it did increase at all this year.
Okay, so how about if we have Christine go out and get a couple of bids or at least contact one or two title companies for updated
already,
prices?
You want to get an update? That'd be fine.
Yeah. I mean, that way we have something accurate. It's not a year old.
Fine.
So move.
Second.
All right, any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
That's Dave.
Okay. Then we could probably have that next meeting or the one after meeting?
We can do it next meeting.
Okay. And then we can discuss it further. Okay. Anything else?
Oh, I have nothing else.
Okay. That will take us to council remarks. Councilman Torres, let's start with you. I'm sorry.
Quick question. I don't know if I can, but I'm going to ask.
I'll let you.
Thank you. About when, just in your recap, an approximate date, time, number of days between when you'll have the letter finished?
My letter to you. I think I said Thursday or Friday or
yeah.
Thank
you.
That would be Wednesday or Thursday. Friday's the holiday.
Yeah, true.
She works holidays, don't you know?
Yeah, now I do.
Okay.
Mayor, I'm glad you started with me for Councilman Marks tonight because I specifically would like to request that I make at least my Councilman Marks after the executive session tonight. If we could maybe move to executive session or, you know, if you'd like to just continue with the council remarks on your agenda, that's fine.
Okay. I mean, you can certainly do more remarks.
Thank you.
There for executive.
Okay. You have nothing else before that, though?
No.
Okay. Ms. Conrick.
Well, I already gave Christine something that I want you to look at. We're dumping ground now over on Union.
You got a response.
She knows. She. I gave her.
No, I gave her.
I know you. I told her that response,
yeah.
But now I have photos, ma'am.
Yeah, pictures.
I walked the property this morning with the maintenance manager,
mm-hmm.
and I explicitly pointed out what had to be removed
okay.
and when.
Mm-hmm.
He was aware of it, but not to the amount that we walked across.
And I believe that mattress belongs over there. That's behind on the parking lot.
That's on Mr. Rossi's property.
But that's from that parking. That's from there.
I will have. I'll go to him tomorrow and tell him to relocate it.
Okay.
He's got a dump mat there.
Yeah.
Furniture already.
Did you see the Railroad Avenue dumping over there?
Yes, mm-hmm. And I want to thank the council for the main Main Street operating services.
Okay. Also, I also gave Christine, she just called me about Taylor Street. There's a warehouse over there or something that's closed down. There's young people hanging out in that warehouse.
Probably the Black Pond Tile area. Yeah,
that's
been ongoing.
Well, their concern is that a fire might start here.
Already happened.
Well,
four or
they
five.
Still they want to do it. They,
I mean,
well,
yeah.
She just
four
called me and she just concerned. And
the police are aware of it.
Right, okay. So.
Hey, you also met other
Mr. Thompson.
Have a happy Easter.
Okay. Mr. Jones. The dam. Any update on that dam?
You can correct me if I'm wrong, but we've gotten word from dam safety, correct, that they...
Yeah, we recently uncovered, maybe a couple weeks ago, when we went out there with the DPW folks to talk to them about the repairs that needed to be made as part of the original inspection.
Right, they're aware of the issues that were found.
So we recently contacted dam safety to get approval for a fix that the township, Washington Township, will effectuate on the downstream side. Actually, I believe it was yesterday or Friday or Thursday of last week, I actually got the official approval to allow us to go ahead and move forward and do that work. And that, we're supposed to be meeting with the township on probably Friday to discuss timetable and things that we have.
Okay.
That's the roadway. What about the dam?
In terms of...
What do we have to do to it?
Well, I mean, we're still investigating what has to be done in terms of decommissioning it, which is what the original discussion was.
Right.
But it was deemed a historical site.
Well, it's not a historical site, it's within a historical district. The structure itself isn't necessarily on the register, it's within the district that's on the register. A little bit different, a little less substantial. And that may not necessarily impact the actual decommissioning of the spillway. I mean, it's really the spillway we're looking to take out so you can have a free-flowing river. So the rest of the walls and everything else can stay there because they really...
Support the road.
Hold up the road.
Right.
But it's the spillways and the control structures that we eliminate to give it a naturally flowing water coursing out. So I don't think it has a huge impact. We certainly, though, through that decommissioning process, if it were ever to get started, would certainly have to make consultation with the Historic Preservation Office, local Historic Preservation Society, and just as part of that course of that approval process.
Okay, so are we going to keep it, or are we going to decommission it? Have we made that determination?
No, we're still in the process of working through that. We got interrupted because of what happened in the emergency of having to fix the wall. We're still getting those numbers together so that I can provide a report to you, which I'll have for next meeting, which is really the cost analysis that we talked about.
Right.
So that, you know, it'll look at, say, the next 10 years, what the required maintenance and oversight would be versus the actual cost to go through that decommissioning process.
And we're going
to
have that at our next meeting?
I'll have that for you at your next meeting.
Dawson, Christine, I had given her information as to a grant for funding for...
Right, and I had actually researched that on my own and contacted the state and the federal, the NRCS really, to get grant that you referred to. The information that I got back is that they're going to get back to me because within the new funding, the new cycle of funding on the federal level, the regulations changed, and they're not sure whether they can provide assistance for these types of things any longer in the new funding apparatus. So I'm waiting to hear back from them on that. Previously, we could.
Because what I had, you know, given Christine to email you a copy of was the state's brand new regulations. So they should consider those federal funds.
They will consider them.
Yeah.
It's whether the funds are actually there and available. So I certainly think it's candidate worthy. It's whether the money is actually there to be able to be put towards it. And that's what we're really trying to find out.
Next.
Anything else, Mr. Jones?
Oh, yeah. A little health and safety hazard that burned that house up on Broad Street. Anybody going to do anything with that? Tear it down or what?
I heard about that. There was some insurance issues with it still.
I mean, it is a safety
issue,
and it's been there for...
It is, right. And I've spoken to the construction official about this and our fire official about this. We're having trouble locating families, which I am told that you can maybe help me with.
Yes.
Okay. So after the meeting, I need that information.
I can get it for you tomorrow. I don't have it with me.
Okay. That'd be great.
How are we doing with the time clock?
We're Well, I've researched fingerprint time clocks, and they're anywhere from $500 to $700, so I don't think it's feasible to put one in every building this year, so we can institute one in any building that council decides this year.
Well, how many would we need? What do we need? What, three? One for here, one for Public Works, and one for
You would need
pool.
Four. The library, the pool.
The library.
DPW, garage, and here.
Now, if you get less than the number for each structure, that doesn't mean that somebody can't punch in at the main location and then still be on our clock when they walk to the library.
They should be able to punch in at any location.
So, right.
That, I would
so,
think.
Right, exactly.
It'll interface
so you could have less machines, actually.
I don't understand that.
Were you saying just get one for the location?
Yeah. Well, in other words, you can have one for the borough hall that the library people could come down and use.
Yeah, well, you're not going to do that.
Well,
you may have them come down and punch work and go to the library.
Yeah, I know.
And
that's
well,
right.
No.
But they're leaving 10 minutes early to come and punch
out.
Because
yeah.
So I mean, you're going to be paying that $500 one way or the other. Is you know my point. So you
I'm
could do that.
I'm thinking about having a company come in and demo.
Okay, well,
maybe
that's a good
that
idea.
Would be
sure.
Something that we can actually look at. So
okay. They might have a better solution.
Right. I'm working with a company to see if they can come in and demo something.
Okay. That's good.
Anything else, Mr. Jones?
And just ask them when they're over on Flower doing the street repair over there. Ask them to take the street sweeper with them.
The street sweeper is unfortunately broken at the moment.
Ah.
Again?
It's, yes, again,
I mean, I've seen
always.
It downtown a couple of times, and it hasn't made it across 57 yet.
I know, it's in the shop.
Ah, okay.
Something with 57 outside of town.
Anything else, Mr. Jones?
Yep.
Mr. Higgins.
Well, yes, street sweeper was one of my things, and I'll just lead off with that. Just so you know that, let me ask you, what's wrong with street sweeper? And how much is it going to cost to get it?
I don't know. They're evaluating it. It's at Timmerman's right now, and I'm waiting for an estimate.
You know how much money? Can you do me a favor while we're on the subject here? Get a cost of what we have paid in repair for that piece of equipment over the last, say, 10 years. And I venture to say it's going to bear out to probably buying a new one.
I will provide that information, but I just want to tell you that money that's used to repair the sweeper comes out of clean community money, grant money. It's
not all
tax
of it has it. Not all of it for the last 10 years has
it. No, it has not. Not until
I started.
I remember
paying for a new hopper or new stainless steel, like, I don't know what it was, $20,000? You remember when we had to seal it all up, the box?
No, because we've done so many repairs.
$15,000?
Anyway, one from the other.
It's getting ridiculous. Tonight's not a very good night for me. Please excuse my demeanor.
Okay.
Okay?
You've got 7 days to change.
What do you say?
I missed it. You've got 7 days to change it.
Yeah, I got 7 days. Thanks.
For that 7 day kick.
Listen, and that has become a safety issue because yesterday at 4:20 in the morning, I stepped out onto the cinders in the road getting out of a car and fell flat on my face because of the cinders. And
make sure that car won't get fixed.
I wonder if I'd wait here, how long it would take somebody to find me, or should I get up and go to work?
You'd have one of those alerts in your press?
Anyway.
Thank you.
I
can't get up.
The crosswalk lights.
You have to order them and put them in.
We order them every year, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Can we order spares so we have them?
What actually is going on with that?
Actually, I would like to have a street committee meeting to discuss the crosswalks.
All right.
And maybe if we could set something up for next week
on site with
the engineer.
Next week is April the 21st, Monday. Monday okay? No, Monday's not okay. At what time? I don't get off until, I don't get off work until 3:30.
We can do it at 4:30, right?
Whatever works.
Tuesday afternoon to Thursday afternoon.
All right, Thursday's good. 4? Is that okay?
4 o'clock Thursday?
4 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay for you? I think it's the 25th.
Fine, I'll clear my schedule.
what day is that?
Yeah, Thursday is to prepare.
First, second, third, fourth, 24th?
Okay, that's good. We already went over the checks. I don't know if they're going to give us checks in 7 days, but do you know how much they owe us, Christine?
I don't have that number, I'm sorry.
I got an email, I don't know if anybody else got it, it's from Triad Associates, I don't know who they are.
They're a grant company, they go out and find grants for various things.
Applications are now being accepted for the Safe Routes to School, SRTS, Grants and Transportation Alternatives Program, TAP. The funding applications are due on or before Thursday, May 15th, this came in last Friday. And it is for sidewalks, crosswalks, bike lanes, multi-use paths, traffic calming measures, other infrastructure-related projects. Here's the silly thing, there were two pages to it, I only copied one. So I'll give that to you, I don't know if these, you know, you might want to check the school, Safe Routes to School, and the Transportation Alternative Program. Do we apply for that?
Those are eligible, certainly, the DOT grant programs, you know, and really depends on the different levels of the things you can do. You can do physical improvements, you can do signage, you can do safety, education.
Can we do stormwater with it?
Infrastructure, it says infrastructure improvements.
Improvements and signage and things of that way.
Yes, there's crosswalks, it does say crosswalks. Listen, it says applications for what, the grants?
Yeah, you have to file the.
Or due by May 15th?
That's today.
Application.
This is April.
No, May 15th.
Yeah, you have to file an application, we've done a few of them.
It's money.
Okay.
I'll cut that with Christine, you didn't get that copy? I'll get you the second page, too.
Tell someone to pay me a fair bill.
All right, that's that.
It can, yeah, there's a number of different things that are eligible regarding the pedestrian, there's still a pedestrian.
Have we heard back from the water company?
No, we have not, I actually spoke with him today, and he is taking it to his higher up for discussion.
Okay. I do have one question, Christine, on, are we sending a letter to Mr. Van Cleef, or are we giving him a phone call?
I will do both. I think I wrote the letter, but I will call as well.
Okay, happy Easter, everybody.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Were you going to check into that, who's going to check into Dr. Proffey on the water company about putting cell towers?
Yes, that's what we're referring to.
You have a referring to?
That's the deal.
Christine?
Yes.
Did anything come in from both of us?
On the grant, not yet. Typically, I would say, and Dustin, again, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the DOT grants, usually they announce them when they're getting ready to adopt or to do their budget in June.
Correct, it's usually in the summer sometime when those get, when the grant awards get announced.
They are, the state is on a fiscal year, it's a calendar year, so.
Yeah, it's usually June, July.
Yeah.
Which we do the budgets.
Correct.
All right, now for my comments. The United Methodist Church on East Washington Avenue has done some major restorations to its structures. They have invited me to attend a special service on the 27th at 10:30 a.m. I will be unable to, but if there is a member of council who would be able to go and represent us, you know, that would be greatly appreciated.
What day is that?
Sunday, April 27th at 10:30 a.m. If you're interested, just let me know afterwards, I'll give you the phone number to RSVP. Okay. Then I'll give you the phone number. Thanks, Rob. I had a conversation with Mike Barone of BASF earlier this week, maybe last week. They will be in the borough until spring of 2015. They are having problems finding qualified labor in Louisiana to build their new plant. So he says they will be here at least until spring 2015. The other thing is today we had a meeting with Paramount. For Christine was there, Sandy Cerami was there. Mr. Dunn and I walked down, we saw the 1416 building, we went into that, looked around. Basically, I told them, I want to see a presentable front there, not just the facade, but when you look in the windows, that you can see everything is sheetrocked, and it looks like it's ready just to be rented, just needs your own touches. He did have some issues with electrical. Electrical is now on in that building. While we were in there, we also saw that there's a water leak, which he needs to take care of. Going through everything, he kind of gave us a June 1st date for completion and having that building ready.
A year.
You know, I did not ask that question directly. But,
7 years.
You know, we did have the meeting with him. There is hopefully progress going on. You know, as he goes, gets that one's done, then he will move down to the other one. He also potentially has a retail client for that building. Can't announce who just yet, but they are in negotiation, and it would be an excellent client to have in the borough. Should it
in which building?
Down closer to the parking lot, the one that he owns down there.
22 or
25, 28.
The one that's got the billboard,
Yeah, the one that's got the color, the graphics on the window.
No, that's right. The one with the new graphics.
That might be.
Yeah, I think it's
25. Yeah, so he's looking, you know, they may be somebody in there shortly. What am I forgetting?
I have one other question.
Was on that, Scott?
He said he would give us monthly updates.
Yes. Yeah, I asked for monthly updates from him, so just little bullet point items to let us know what has been done, what he plans on doing coming, and I told him that if he has any issues with inspections or anything like that, let us know right off the bat, and we will get on to our legislators. We didn't go into that. That was discussed at Planning Board, as you know, Ethel, the night before.
Mm-hmm. I had the same question, which I talked to maybe a member of the Planning Board as well, that there seems to be some sort of disconnect, I guess, between we don't have some facility to really follow through on what's, you know, ordered by the Planning Board in terms of specifications and them complying, what happens when they're not, you know, following through and changing the standards to what they prefer, like in the case of these windows that were replaced not as to specs.
I believe that the windows were installed were what were depicted on the drawings. And, you know, we're looking at that, the Planning Board, oops, there.
Okay, well,
so I mean,
in the future, I'm just thinking of,
yeah,
of, you know,
in such a case, it's up to the inspectors of everything to say, nope, this doesn't meet.
Which inspectors are engineer?
A lot of that depends on who the inspector is to take care of it, but yes, it would more than likely be our engineer or engineering company.
Okay, so we don't have anything in our ordinances right now that say that we are directing our engineer to be responsible inspector in terms of...
Well, the Planning Board did speak on that the other night, and they're going to get something put in for that.
Oh, in terms of a town ordinance. So in other words...
Something to follow.
Okay, good. Well, okay,
that's
what I'm
asking. Process.
That'd be great.
At least the process.
Okay. Good. Thank you. That answered my question.
I think that's all we have.
We have one more.
No, that's right. Yeah. I'll talk to Christine afterwards.
Okay. And I would accept a motion for Resolution 63-2014, an executive session for pending or anticipated litigation after a 10-minute break.
And personnel matters.
And personnel.